Let There Be Light. From Flashbangs and Frag Grenades. By Calchexis. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on League of Legends by Riot Games. Chapter 34. Shadows. Is there seriously nowhere else to meet? Vi asked as she slumped down on the steps of Grayson's crypt for the third time that week. Jay shook his head as he set his small jamming device out and turned it on, then sat beside Vi and said, "The outskirts of Piltover are bristling with cadre camps and riddled with patrols, and doing anything inside the city is twice as risky." "But why the tombs?" Vi groaned. "Because the necropolis is the only place in Piltover that Hextech hasn't touched yet," Jace replied. Well, that much was true. Even the lamps for the city were run on normal electrical power drawn from the city mains. Vi hadn't really thought about it until Jace had said it, but it was true. Damn near everything in Piltover had been converted over to Hextech over the past 10 years. Only the very oldest parts of the city where full conversions weren't feasible because of the infrastructure still remained free of it, and even that stuff was just a matter of time. "What about you?" Vi asked with a faint grin. "Ain't someone going to notice the inventor of Hextech and former counselor going around all shady-like?" "If I were walking the streets, they might," Jace agreed. Vi raised an eyebrow. "Don't tell me you figured out that whole Hextech teleporter thing." Jace laughed weakly and shook his head. "No, unfortunately not," he replied. "I'm doing it the old-fashioned way, actually. Talus is an old house in what used to be a poorer part of Piltover before I joined the council." He took out a scroll of vellum and unrolled it, showing a set of blueprints. "I found it while I was expanding my forge almost 6 years ago." Leaning in, Vi looked over the section Jace was pointing out and huffed out a laugh. "That's an old sewer access from... fuck, something like a century ago. They're all over the place at Zaun, but I guess there's a few topside, too." She frowned, then looked up sharply and said, "Wait, that means you're getting here by slipping through Zaun?" "No," Jace replied, shaking his head. "The line is defunct. It was probably closed off from the Undercity decades ago, but it runs almost all the way out of the city from the other side." "No way that's legal," Vi said as Jace rolled up the blueprints. "It's not," Jace admitted. "But by the time I found it, I was jaded enough to see the value in an escape route that only I knew about. Good to know." Shoving a hand into her jacket, Vi fished around before pulling out a pad of greasy, reclaimed paper and handing it over to Jace, who took it silently and began to leaf through it. Over the past few days, Vi had watched the comings and goings of the cadre. Their movements were almost completely self-contained. Not even Caitlin knew where one unit was going to go day to day, despite being commandant of the military police, with the council unseated. The brass cadres received their orders straight from the clan, which effectively meant they were actually taking orders straight from Camille herself. "More and more troops are moving into the city proper and out of the outskirt camps," Vi said as Jace continued to read. "The border hoods are a fucking slaughterhouse. One day Piltover moves in, and the next day it's Zaun, then back again. No one even lives there anymore. Most of the border folk have repatriated back to Zaun. Some fled into Piltover, but there's no room." Jace nodded silently as he flipped to the next page, then grimaced. "This can't be real," he muttered before looking back up at Vi. "Plague wards? Quarantine? How has no one said anything about this? How has the Star and the Herald not published something?" "Because the Star and the Herald have their noses so far up Camille's ass they probably can't see anything but metal cheeks, pretty boy," Vi sneered. "But we have doctors," Jace insisted. "We have hospitals. We're not savages, Vi. We have the technology to cure this disease." Vi shook her head. "No, we don't," she said coldly. "I think that's why there's a gag order on the plague." "What do you mean?" Jace asked. Sighing, Vi sagged back against the steps of the tomb and said, "Caitlin's been getting orders from on high for the MPs to seal off certain parts of the city. Only folks allowed in are Demacian chirurgeons, Piltover medical staff, and clan officials." She dragged a hand down her face and scowled, All we know is that the plague is getting worse, not better, which shouldn't be possible, but... Vi trailed off, not wanting to voice her thought. Jace seemed to catch on anyway, and, in a hollow voice, said, "It's Zahn, isn't it?" "There's no proof, but... yeah, I think so," Vi admitted. "Singed," Jace hissed. "Yeah," Vi grimaced. "And Cupcake's betting coppers to crowns that mutant Twitch and his rats are involved, too." "How?" Jace gestured sharply with the pad. "Without getting into Piltover itself, how—" He cut himself off. And Vi could practically hear the coin drop as he stared at her for a moment before saying, "Wait, rats?" "No proof, but yeah, that's what we're thinking," Vi said. It wasn't something she liked thinking about either. It was like every week some new horror was getting invented for the sake of the war, with Piltover and Zahn competing for who could develop the most grotesque ways of killing each other. The fact that Piltover was actually staying neck and neck with Zahn was almost impressive in the ugliest possible way. "That makes this next part make more sense," Jace said darkly as he passed back Vi's notes. "There are rumors that the clan is going to start opening up Hextech augmentation to the public at large as a means of combating the plague. I thought it was just propaganda or an excuse for more experimentation, but if this plague is Singed's work, then it might actually be genuine." Vi's stomach twisted at the idea of everyday people lining up to have their guts replaced with metal bits. It wasn't even just Camille at this point, because her answer to everything was always just more Hextech. Soldiers not strong enough to fight Zahnites toe-to-toe, install some Hextech. People dying of a manufactured plague, install some Hextech. Need to make toast and tea while engaging in soul-crushing trench warfare against your own people? Install some fucking Hextech. "Speaking of man-made horrors beyond my comprehension," Vi continued. "Any news on the red-headed psycho?" "Only that she's still alive," Jace said.
"How?"
Vi breathed. "You should have seen her, Talus. She was just pieces. Not even a hard-body conversion should survive that. The only person in the world I know of who lived through something that bad is..." It was like a chunk of ice had dropped straight into Vi's stomach. It was a cold, ugly feeling, and one that knocked the wind from Vi's chest as she considered the possibility. There was no way, right? Camille hated Zahnites. To her, they were lower than the lowest scum. Then again, Vi knew better than anyone how much ideals were worth when it came down to the bloody wire for most people. "Vi, what is it?" Jace asked. "Maybe nothing, but maybe..." Vi trailed off, then shook her head and said, "I gotta go talk to Kate. We'll meet back here in a week, got it? 1 week." "1 week," Jace replied. "I'll try to have more for you by then." "Same, and stay safe, pretty boy." Vi made a mock salute as she stood and slouched off into the night. She really hoped her gut instinct was wrong, but if it wasn't, then they might be in more trouble than they thought. Deep below Piltover, blood was painting the streets of Zahn. One of the many ways to descend into the Undercity, the great lift that stretched out from the bridge was the only one that would allow the mobilization of force. A full company of over 100 soldiers could be deployed per descent, and if employed non-stop, could field 400 soldiers an hour. The lift was running hot that day. And Jinx wanted to blow it up. She really wanted to blow it up, except she couldn't. At the end of the day, Zahn needed that fucking lift for the same reason that Piltover did. More, in fact, because Zahn relied on greater numbers. If she blew the lift, then Piltover would only have to worry about the bottlenecks. There was a connection that neither city could afford to lose the use of, because it would make finishing the war 10 times harder and bloodier. The problem was that, for the moment, Piltover was the one in control of it.
"Push him back!"
Jinx snarled as she popped up over the pile of scrap that had been dragged into place as makeshift cover and launched a shot from fishbones into the enemy line. It impacted one of the big, deployable metal plates the enforcers used to use for street blockades, staggering them back for a moment before they steadied themselves. Those riot blockades had been reinforced and were now being used to advance their line under mobile cover, and it was annoyingly effective. Zaun had numbers, but they didn't have the right weapons. Even with armor-piercing rounds, their guns were too old, and the caliber wasn't big enough to breach the advancing walls of metal. They weren't even enough to breach a Damasian shield wall. Still, they tried. The Argent Barony was nearest to the Great Lift, which meant it was Karvik's men that Jinx was fighting alongside. A firelight runner had brought the report that Piltover was mobilizing a full-scale assault early that morning to Billowa, and Jinx had been up and moving within moments. The Silver Guard needed a leader, and Karvik was a businessman, not a fighter. As much as it had pained both of them, Lux had stayed behind to rally a relief force from the surrounding wards, but with how sprawling Zaun was, it would take hours to pull together anything substantial, and that wasn't counting the travel time. Karvik's Silver Guard were, like the Glasgardi, mostly Zaunite-raised mercenaries converted into soldiers. Noxian training had helped grind off the rough edges, but the difference between their training and the advancing line of Piltoven and Damasians was stark. The Silver Guard rained chaotic sprays of shots against the slowly advancing barricade while the Piltoven cadre returned disciplined waves of fire. By that point, all Jinx could do was force them to take ground inch by inch rather than by the foot and hope that relief got to them before the Piltovens fielded something even worse. So far, they hadn't seen any Pilty Blackguards, as they had come to be known, but that didn't mean they weren't coming. And if they did, then a few of them might be enough to crack the line wide open.
"I just keep coming,"
a Silver Guard sergeant griped as he dropped down beside Jinx to reload.
"Can't you just blow them up?"
"With what?" Jinx snapped. "I already shot them with missiles, you dipshit, and they barely flinched."
"But you're Jinx."
Jinx rolled her eyes, then elbowed the sergeant out of the way as she turned and pulled a pair of chompers from her belt, ripping the pins free as she did. Roaring wordlessly, she pitched both grenades in high arcs, rotated out her shotgun, spun the chambers, then fired one of her special shells. It hit the advancing shield wall just as the Piltovens were taking aim at her grenades like it was a rifle shoot, and somebody had just shouted, "Pull!" Thanks to that, their eyes were wide open when Jinx's blind shot shell went off, detonating with a phosphorus flash of blinding white. Shouts and screams from the Piltoven line were interrupted a second later by the chompers landing behind the advancing wall and detonating, blowing two of the shields out and opening a hole in the advance.
"Open fire!"
The roared command came from the Zaunites, and they poured carbine shot down the middle into the hole Jinx had cleared. Jinx raised Pow-Pow, jammed her fist into the access port, and unleashed a flensing stream alongside them. Several dull thumps sounded from behind the Piltoven line, and Jinx shouted, "Mortar fire!" She threw herself to the ground along with the rest of the Silver Guard, hugging cover just as explosions rang throughout the Zaunite line.
"For progress and Damasia!"
The enemy line pushed hard under the watchful eye of their artillery, which must have just arrived, and Jinx cursed as she staggered to her feet with fishbones propped onto her shoulder.
"Progress this!"
Jinx shouted as she fired a missile not at the advancing line, but at the ground directly in front of them, blowing a hole in the street and sending several Piltovens and Damasians alike stumbling down in an armored tangle of limbs. More thumps of mortar fire split the air, and Jinx threw herself back as explosions tore the street apart behind her. From the screams, at least one of the shots had hit home on a knot of Silver Guard. Wiping blood from her face, Jinx stood, aimed Pow-Pow downrange, then started unloading as she shouted,
"Fire and retreat! And if I see any of you running away, I'll put a bullet in your back myself!"
They needed help, and they needed it yesterday. Where the fuck was... The deafening thrum of hoverboards roared overhead, and Jinx went on a whooping cheering that was taken up by the Silver Guard as a whole swarm of firelights rushed over the Piltoven line. A second later, dozens of small explosions rocked their line, and a moment after that, there was an earth-shaking crump as a pillar of smoke and fire rose from deep behind enemy lines.
"There go the mortars," Jinx sneered, then shouted, "New plan, dipshits! Charge!"
The Zaunites, as it turned out, were a lot better at charging forward than backward. Jinx clambered on top of a pile of scrap and Convert to pour down more gunfire onto the heads of the cadre. Silver Guard fire teams joined her, laying down suppressive fire with their carbines in between Jinx's reloads. Overhead, the firelights were wheeling around for a second run. They'd already blown their payload all over the Pilties, but cudgels were cudgels, and if there was one thing the firelights knew how to do, it was how to get into a scrap and come out the other side.
Camel, what the hell is that?
Jinx turned to look behind her, following the Silver Guard's line of fight, then grinned as she spotted what looked like a gold and white meteor descending towards the Piltoven line.
Heads up!
Jinx shouted as she whipped back around.
It's the bright side of Zaun, coming in hot!
The meteor struck the street, center mass of Khadra forces, and detonated with a blast of blinding sunlight. Lux stood, armored head to toe in lightweight, layered Noxian steel from a molten crater on the slagged remains of a hoverboard. She veiled herself in a hard light shell of magic as she shot focused beams of light into the backs of the Piltoven she'd landed behind. Not even petrocyte threaded armor could take that kind of blow point blank, and she was aiming for necks, knees, and other joints where the actual armor was too thin to provide any real protection. Meanwhile, Jinx was already up and sprinting for the shattered Khadra line, firing Zapper from the hip to keep heads down around Lux as she spun around and around, firing dense bolts of migraine white light into the enemies around her. She didn't let up, not even for a second. She couldn't. If Lux let them rally, then she'd go from being in a target-rich environment to being fatally surrounded.
Heads up, Blondie!
Jinx landed beside her and threw an entire bandolier of chompers at a line of Piltovens just as they were pulling up their carbines. Shots rang out from them, only to deflect wildly off of a barrier of bent light just as the grenades went off and took the Piltovens with them, but it wasn't over yet. Charging around the flanks came squads of Demacian regulars, shields up and blades out, and try as the Silver Guard might, there just wasn't enough shot from the Zaunite side to blunt the attack. A shot from Zapper confirmed Jinx's suspicions as the arcane bolt washed over a shield like water off a sump rat's back. More fucking petricite. How much of that stuff did the Demacians have? Behind them, the Piltoven front line was pressed hard by the Zaunite charge, but the horns of the Demacian reserves were coming in, and it was up to Jinx and Lux alone to stop them.
Hammer down!
A familiar voice cut through the air as the firelight swung through the left flank, beating Demacian shields and heads alike as the lead rider dismounted his board and landed back to back with Lux and Jinx.
Hey, little man, nice to see you up and about,
Jinx cheered. Echo flourished his cudgel and rolled his neck to the tune of several cracks and pops, and his once soft brown eyes fluoresced shimmer pink in the low light.
Couldn't leave all the fun to you, Jan, besides.
He lunged out with blinding speed as the right flank Demacian charge closed in and struck the lead soldier across the dome with a sound like a ringing bell.
We're blood now, remember?
More on my blood than yours in you by this point,
Jinx cackled back as she turned and pulled Pow-Pow to fire between Echo and Lux. Another shield of light came up, blunting the charge even as petricite-lined blades bit through the shield, carving chunks from it like it was little more than soft shale.
Tell me you two brought more than just a bunch of firelights, little man.
Jinx shouted over the clangor of blades and gunfire. We brought a lot more than just firelights, dear, Lux said through a strained grin as she projected more and more layers of light around them. There came a sound like a god taking a long, deep breath, followed by a roar as waves of chemical flame washed over the battlefield. It spilled across Lux's shield like a breakwater, flowing around it and sending the Demacians screaming to the ground, flailing as they were cooked inside of their armor. Jinx turned back to the front line as the fire faded, and dozens of heavily front-armored Grimeward throng approached in thick, fire-retardant kit, and heavy industrial rebreathers that gave their faces a distorted, insectile look. And leading them was...
Doc?
Jinx stared as Singed gestured for his crew to continue their advance, guarded by his massive shield.
Chemlord!
Singed replied in his oddly sonorous baritone.
I understand you require assistance, and as it happens, I have a new weapon to test. So our interests have quite conveniently aligned.
Yeah, I can see that.
Jinx watched as the counter line broke under a combination of Throng and Silver Guard, leaving behind thrashing and screaming Piltovens and Demacians alike.
How long before the screaming stops?
That's part of the test,
he replied as he adjusted his tower shield as well as the straps on his armored chemtank.
Now if there's nothing pressing, I'm going to go apply some scientific theory.
Yeah, well, leave some science for me. I'm just going to catch my breath,
Jinx replied as he passed her to catch up with his advancing forces. Jinx slumped to the ground against a pitted and scored slab of scrap cover, and a moment later Lux and Echo joined her on either side.
That was a close one, she muttered.
Lux nodded as she curled up against Jinx. Too close, she said. And now Nemacia is shoring up the one thing Piltover has lacked all this time.
Numbers,
Echo filled in grimly.
The Pilties finally have numbers.
And a lot of them. Nemacia was huge. Both Lux and their new Noxian allies were more than experienced with the numbers that the two nations could field. Piltover and Zaun had turned into a full-on proxy war between the two superpowers. Since both Nemacia and the Noxus were ostensibly still members of the League of Legends, they couldn't just go kill each other. Old Lady Ferris had made it clear that neither was going to pull out of the League until the matter between Piltover and Zaun was dealt with. It was a safety measure, apparently. If Nemacia and Piltover won, then Nox would pull support and turtle up, and vice versa if Noxus and Zaun won. That wouldn't be an option if the two powers flung themselves into a pitched war with each other before Zaun's uprising was decided. If Nemacia and Noxus got into it on their own, then whoever bet on the losing horse would face a logistical clusterfuck the size of Aurelian Sol's shit list in pulling back to defend their cities that were suddenly wide open to naval attacks. Honestly, it all made Jinx's head hurt.
Nice armor, by the way, Jinx said, looking Lux up and down. When'd you get that?
A gift from Lady Ferris, Lux replied thinly.
Where is the old bat, anyway?
Jinx asked. Echo waved out toward the west.
Leading a diversionary attack through one of the sub-level exits.
Across town, a 7-foot-tall dreadnought of ancient Noxian steel swung its twin blades through 3 Khajra riflemen, splitting them apart in a swelter of gore. The ancient warmonger, unwillingly raised to battle once more, roared in wordless madness as it berserked through the Piltoven line.
What the fuck is that?
Sergeant Krios of the Khajra 124th Rifles backpedaled as he fired shot after shot into the thing, but even the ones that landed home failed to do so much as slow it down. All around him, Noxian horrors with gleaming red eyes butchered indiscriminately, swinging heavy hacking blades wildly around and completely ignoring the mortal wounds being dealt to them. The Nemacians were the only ones who held steady, charging forward to meet their lifelong foes blade to blade and hacking them apart with equal abandon until there was nothing left but broken bodies.
Protector, look down and spit,
Lieutenant Dram of the Nemacian honor-bound 9th groaned, snapping his sword down to clear the rotten blood from it.
It's the Grey Legion. Don't know what I expected out of Noxus by way of Zaun, though.
The fuck is the Grey Legion?
Krios asked desperately as he cradled his rifle.
Ensorcel dead,
Dram replied as another chorus of howls came from the sub-level tunnel ahead of them, and he brought his blade and shield up.
Now get to your feet, soldier. There's always more of them.
Fucking zombies? Since when were we fighting fucking zombies?
Krios cried as he raised his Tystal 45.
Since we started fighting Noxus, Dram said.
Red eyes glittered malevolently in the darkness a moment before a small horde of half-eaten, partially dissolved Zaunite corpses barreled out of the tunnel, followed by properly armored Noxian revenants that were driving the mindless horde before them like cattle to a slaughter.
Oh gods, I'm gonna be sick,
Krios sobbed.
Aim it at them, then, and get back to shooting, and for Kale's sake, ignore the head and aim for the neck and the kneecaps!
Dram replied before raising his sword along with the rest of the honor-bound 9th and roaring,
Nemacia forever!
They met the charging dead with the deafening, clanging, and sickening crunch of bodies hitting metal, and Sergeant Krios decided he was definitely going to be sick.
Huh, that sounds fun,
Jinx said with a shrug before pushing herself back to her feet and saying,
What are the odds we're taking the lift back?
Nil,
Echo replied.
Filties have the upper landing locked down tighter than a councilman's wallet. We'd just be giving him a shooting gallery if we went up there now.
Lux put a hand on Jinx's arm. Let's settle for having pushed them out of Zaun, she said. Taking the lift will require careful planning. If we charge it now, the Nemacian rearguard will bleed us white. Jinx glowered back down the street towards the lift. It was ascending, taking with it the last ragged remains of the Piltoven charge. They were getting bolder and bolder every day, because every day they were getting more reinforcements from the planes. And they were getting better weapons, too. Piltover had never fielded artillery before. Then again, most of the battles prior had taken place in Piltover itself, so maybe they just hadn't wanted to bomb their own city. Clearly they didn't have the same issue with Zaun.
Right, planning, Jinx grumbled.
Don't sweat it, Jay,
Echo said.
We'll break the deadlock one way or the other.
Lox looped her arm into Jinx's and twined their fingers.
We need a plan and an edge, she said. Piltover can't keep this up forever.
Yeah,
Jinx sighed. The problem was that neither could they.
The text of this story is available on AO3. Music by Dot Matrix. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, get in touch using the contact information available on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.